Pappas is a sports researcher, counselor, and college professor, and the author of The Dark Side of Sports, Exposing Sexual Culture of Collegiate and Professional Athletes. He's on the other end of our line. Nick, how are you?
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Doing very well. I know that you've been watching this case at Penn State with Jerry Sandusky and all that it entails. When you heard about the report that was released yesterday, what were your thoughts?
Obviously very disturbing. Penn State is one of the two schools I played college hockey at, and so it's very near and dear to me. I worked at the hockey schools at Penn State for 25 consecutive years following my career and came in contact with the Sandusky group, the second mile. They would stay sometimes at the same dorm that we would on different floors. So these issues are very close to me, being a Penn Stater myself, and the fact that these issues were covered up in a striking fashion are extremely disturbing for a lot of people, myself included.
Had there been rumblings about Sandusky and his behavior prior to this being exposed, back in the late 90s when the first cases popped up?
You know, football is such an insulated culture at Penn State. It ruled the university, and you really didn't, unless you were an insider in the football culture, probably only among the staff, maybe they would know things, and I'm only making a conjecture here, but those outside, even though the ice rink was right next to the football facility, you know, we wouldn't have that kind of information, and I was up there for only 6 to 8 weeks in the summer, and so that's information that I wasn't privy to.
Nick, what do you think should happen to Penn State and to the statue of Coach Paterno?
Well, I see a lot of people right now having thoughts about that. I saw one survey that said 60% thought the statue should remain, 40% thought it should be removed. You know, obviously, in lieu of the report, it's extremely saddening, as you know, the trustees had mentioned, to find out that people lied and then lied about their lies pertaining to these incidences, which could have been stopped 14 years ago had steps been taken by high-ranking officials, including Paterno. So obviously very, very disturbing. As to how, you know, this should affect his legacy, the trustee said his legacy is already marred as a result of this, and definitely, you know, a man of integrity, when you find out there have been lies associated with him, but not just lies, huge lies, because they involve tremendous victimization of children. It's very, very disturbing and saddening. You know, as to what should be done, we'll see how this plays out. You know, I don't really, As to where I stand on this, I'll need to give it more thought to see, you know, what I would take a stand. But definitely, it's a sad situation all the way around.
Tell us about your book, The Dark Side of Sports: Exposing Sexual Culture of Collegiate and Professional Athletics.
Well, during my collegiate and professional ice hockey career as a player and a coach, I knew things, I saw things, I observed things. You hear things that other athletes are doing. And so when I started to study athlete aggression and deviancy formally in my doctoral program, from my experiences, I knew this stuff needed to be written about. The book took 12 years to write because nobody had ever done it before. So to have an inside look into the culture and the deviant behaviors that go on behind closed doors that nobody knows about, you only hear about them when sexual assaults come out, but there's a whole lot of seedy, deviant, perverted behaviors that go on that never receive any attention. They fly under the radar. They're not always illegal, but they can easily lead to sexual assaults. You know, seeing this in my career, I wanted to know about athletes from other sports. So I interviewed collegiate players, major leaguers, minor leaguers from basketball, football, baseball, wrestling, in addition to hockey. I also have some Olympians in a sample to get their experiences and to find out what they saw, what they knew, what they might have experienced or participated in themselves.
Tell me about some of these, as you say, seedy circumstances.
Well, it starts out with guys targeting each other in the athlete culture, where they'll target each other with all kinds of crazy initiations. It can include seedier behaviors that aren't a part of an initiation. Exhibitionism, deviant masturbation, targeting each other is when somebody falls asleep to ejaculate on them, on each other. And so things like that go on, and the thought is, well, if guys are targeting their close buddies with these behaviors, well, what about the casual female sexual partner that they just meet, and how are they targeted? Well, I found things like competitions and contests were rampant, where 75% of the guys that I interviewed had awareness of guys that were competing for sex with women. It could be how many you can hook up within a day's time. What about a week? What about a semester? What about a season? And so there were point systems. There were spreadsheets. So guys would tally their conquests, their contests, and things like that. It could also include things like voyeurism, where guys are setting up a situation where they're going to watch a teammate hook up in the same room and sometimes videotape this without the females knowing, and sometimes they're going to try to join these situations with or without consent. So it either turns into group sex, which 95% of my guys had awareness of happening in their collegiate and professional career, or it turns into group assault if the female is intoxicated or if she doesn't know that she's being switched up upon because it's a darkened room.
All right, so, Nick, folks can go to your website. What's that website address?
The website is www.drnickpappas.com.
Thank you.